Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Lindsay W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Houston, Texas. Today is Thursday, March 28, 2024. And today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in the chapter Bill's Story on page 11. And we're in the fourth paragraph beginning, "Had this power originated in him?" through one paragraph ending, "And this was none at all." And we'll be commenting on the one paragraph. All right, today's readers are, for the 12 steps, Joni C., 12 traditions, Cassie B., and then our readers of the text will be Rick J., Nancy C., and Krista F. will be our backup this morning. Our newcomer greeter is Reba P., second hour host is Ann A., and then announcements will be given by Robin P. The reference numbers for Wednesday, March 27th are, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,258-21258, and then for the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, 21,259. That is 21259. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Joni C. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Joni C., gratefully recovered but not cured from Minnesota. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Joni C., and I will now ask Cassie B. to read the 12 traditions. Kathy, star one to unmute.
Hi, thank you. This is Cassie B. in Ohio, compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may have service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Cassie B. All right, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. This morning, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in Bill's story on page 11, the fourth paragraph. Have this power originated in him? Through one paragraph ending, and this was none at all. And I will now ask Rick J. to begin reading. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you for your service. My name is Rick J. I am a recovered, but not cured, compulsive overeater in Cary, North Carolina. Had this power originated in him? Obviously, it had not. There had been no more power in him than there was in me at that minute, and this was none at all. I love this power of contrast. You know, Bill knows Ebby. They got drunk together. They did some pretty wild stuff when drinking, and Bill knew Ebby. And Ebby knew Bill. You know, they had a history together in their drinking, and, you know, and in a way, as they kept descending, you know, more and more into the grip of alcoholism, it's like they were exploring the bottom together for a while. And now Ebby is here, and Bill doesn't talk about the God that Ebby is saying, you know, saved him. And that's all Ebby said. You know, he just simply says, you know, God did for me what I could not do for myself. But, and Bill is talking about this, the power, you know, like the power of what? The power that changed Ebby. There was something, a power that changed his friend who he knew. Something was at work there. And he knew that it didn't come out of Ebby, and because he knew Ebby. He was just like Ebby. He knew he didn't have the power to change himself. And yet there's Abby, you know, and, you know, the door opened and he stood there fresh skinned and glowing. There was something about his eyes. He was inexplicably different, you know, and Bill sees that. And it's like the light of Abby's spiritual transformation is shining in this darkness that Bill is completely immersed in, that isolation, that darkness, that hopelessness. And the contrast must have just been mind-blowing to Bill. And despite all his agnostic leanings, and he wasn't an atheist, we know that, but he was very agnostic, and a lot of the stuff about religion would be stirred up, but yet Abby forces him to acknowledge that there he is living in a change. He's living something that Bill cannot relate to, and it intrigues Bill. And that's the beautiful part about carrying this message to others. When we talk about our Abby, and most of the people we know or can carry the message to, we sometimes it's true, but a lot of the time we don't know people. But we can identify enough about our experience that we're relatable and people can identify with us and they can see how we've changed. And what we can do is plant a seed. You know, Abby didn't strike Bill sober. He planted a seed. Bill was very, very intrigued. And that image of Abby sitting there in such a complete state of transformation, he could not get that out of his head. And Bill came on to get sober. He found recovery. And, you know, and I want to remember that I always have that capacity to reach out and share my experience, strength, and hope, and become relatable enough to someone with my own past that they can identify with me and plant a spark there. Spark something, plant a seed. And anyway, with that, I pass.
Thank you. Thank you, Rick, for getting us started this morning. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So when you give me your name, just give me your first name and the first initial of your last name if you'd like to share. So who would like to share on this paragraph this morning?
Melissa C.
Kelly S.
Janet B.
Wrapping.
Pam B.
Alec B.
Elena
B.
All right. All right. Let me tell you who I have so far. So I heard Melissa C., Kelly S., Janet B., Alec, I believe, B., Sherry, Robin, and Elena. That is who I heard. So let's get started with that lineup. So, Melissa C., you will be first, and if everyone else will please press star 1 to mute. Good morning, Melissa.
Hey, good morning, Lindsay. Thanks so much for your service this morning. Good to hear you. My name is Melissa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I live in New York, and, you know, I think it's really powerful that Abby didn't try to explain how God works, that, you know, that all the wars and human suffering had some kind of explanation that he could wrap up in a neat bow, you know, and that's what he was going to sell Bill before Bill could come to believe. And, you know, in my experience, I always felt more bristly and argumentative when people tried to explain away suffering and loss, that as though that was part of God's plan. I thought that was really, like, dismissive and arrogant, and I remember thinking, like, don't insult me and console me with that as reassurance. And so here's what works. Here's what Abby did. He was an example. He was a living, breathing example, you know, and, like, I don't know. I can't understand, you know, why people are mistreated, why there's exploitation and wars, and, you know, I will never understand why I had, like, I had back-to-back horrendous losses, boom, 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 in a really short amount of time. And I'll never understand that. I don't believe I will, right? At least not in my human existence, my time on Earth. But here's what I understand. Something happened. You know, something happened. Some great miraculous intervention occurred between me and the food, and that power that helped me put that food down did not originate in me. Like, I know that I'm a walking, breathing example of a miracle of healing. And I think, you know, because I've been given that, I have a responsibility, and so did Abby, and that it's to tell the truth, you know, and here's the truth. I had no power. Like, 1 minute, I was a crying and terrified woman, eating until my mouth bled and snoring myself awake every night. I could not drive my car past Dunkin' Donuts and Burger King. I couldn't do it. And then it's as though I turned a page and I fell into a brand new story, easily able to drive past those places and eating within the boundaries of a food plan. And did that power originate in me? No freaking way. There's just no way. You know, so my job is never to tell anyone how to make sense of life's tragedies. Like, I still can't do that. But I think here's what I ask people. Do you want to believe? And do you want to get well or not? And I think we can start right then and there. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Melissa C. from New York. And then next up is Kelly S. Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning, Lindsay. Thank you so much for your service. It's always good to hear you. Kelly S., recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Powerful lineup of shares this morning. So had this power originated in him? No, obviously not. You know, right there, it's because we lack power. I mean, it tells us that in the book, lack of power is our dilemma. And that was the thing I just took years to understand. You know, what it's not lack of a good food plan, lack of a good sponsor, lack of a good meeting. I love that Rick and his share said it wasn't Abby that struck Bill abstinent. You know, Abby was just the light that we always talk about. You know, our sponsors, our guides hold the lantern for us. And, you know, I shared with you guys that when I started listening to Vision in 2000, I don't know, God, it was almost 10 years ago. I don't know what day it is half the time. Anyway, it was a long time ago. You guys were my Abby. I could hear in your voices, you know, I could hear you guys coming alive, and you had something I hadn't had. And you know, I was always here for the weight loss, and I was always for the food plan, and I could hear something different, and so I stayed. And then, you know, a couple of years ago, I got on a Zoom meeting, a Zoom workshop, and I saw these women's eyes come alive, and you see this. You know, I've got a mom in sobriety, and she's got like 40-something years of sobriety, and for years she would tell me, you know, I don't know, she still calls me Sissy. Sissy, I don't know why you try to pretend when you're okay. I can tell it in your eyes. The lights aren't on, right? Bill's, you know, Abby's lights were on in his eyes. You guys' voices, people on Zoom, people's lights were coming on, and I saw that. And what was causing that? It wasn't they found a good food plan or a good sponsor or a good meeting. We need to have the example. We need to show the way. But I didn't understand for a long time, as in decades, that it was lack of power. I needed a higher power. Didn't matter how much I desired it, how much I wanted it. Didn't matter how hard I tried if I didn't connect into this source, right? It's this source, this power, my God, that gives me this light, that helps me come alive. And that was shared, that it gives me this ability to go from where I'm binging, I'm purging, I'm getting up in the middle of the night. I thought I would never be able to stop that, right? And jumping on scales, obsessed, you know, all these crazy things where I have freedom and peace now. I don't even know how that works. And now I'm learning how to live life different. How does that work? It does not originate in me, none of this stuff. And the truth is, you guys, I tell God this all the time. You know, I'm going to tell you, God, the only reason I came to you, I have no other solutions. I ran out of solutions. I had nothing else to do but to pick up that spiritual toolkit. I was out, you know, and I am grateful today that I ran out of my solutions. I had to concede to my innermost self that I alone did not have power. There was no human power to help me. Finally understood that I had to connect the higher power, which is my God today. Grateful to be here, Lindsay. Thanks for your service. Pass.
Thank you, Kelly S. in Oklahoma. And the next up is Janet B. Good morning, Janet.
Hi, good morning, Lindsay. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. So a number of years ago, I had pneumonia. I could not stop coughing. I had to go to the hospital. And because I couldn't stop coughing on my own and because I had this bad bacterial infection, they gave me an antibiotic So I could never say that I cured my pneumonia on my own, that I stopped, you know, the infection from spreading on my own. I needed an outside intervention, and that's what did it. And the same with food. You know, for years, I went to Overeaters Anonymous, and they said, glad you're here, glad you've admitted you're powerless, now stick to a food plan. And I was thinking, okay, on the one hand, you're telling me I'm powerless, and then you're telling me to stick to this food plan as if this magic piece of paper with words of different ingredients on it is going to do it. And they were wrong, because the solution isn't a magic food plan. The solution is power, right? It says, like, that's what we need. And a power that's not in me. It's the power of God as we understand God. So then the big question becomes, how do we get it? How do I access this power, right? At the hospital, you know, someone said, she's got pneumonia, she needs an antibiotic, okay? I know I have compulsive eating, I'm powerless, I need God. What do I do? And the solution is to surrender. And what that means is not just surrender my food plan, like, okay, I'll do this food plan because I couldn't. In order to get that power, in order to get God, access to God, I had to surrender my entire life. So that means, like, no cheating, you know, no cheating on taxes. April 15th is coming close, so that's on our minds. No cheating, no lying, no stealing, thinking of others, self-sacrifice for the benefit of others. That means giving up something I want in order to help someone else, developing tolerance, clearing up the wreckage of my past, surrendering my whole life, because our book tells us either God is everything or else he is nothing. And I found that just like in the hospital, when I just surrendered to the doctors telling me what drugs I needed to take to get better, when I surrendered my life to God and said, I will do whatever you want. I will admit everything I knew about you was wrong and start over. He came in and removed, put in remission the infection of compulsive eating so that I could live a life free of obsession. And again, removing the food obsession is just God's opening act. You guys, there's so much more. And it's just belief and surrender. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Janet B. in North Carolina. All right, next up, I have Alec. And I believe it was B as in boy, but please correct me if I am wrong. Good morning, Alec.
Good morning. This is Alec B, as in boy, A-L-E-C, B from Missouri, St. Louis. I'm so glad to be in line with you this morning and to just remember, right, this dynamic of power and my own impotence, my own lack of power. I'm compulsive overeater and restrictor covered for today. And I mean it for today because one thing I've recognized looking at my history, looking at my experience is, yes, God was able to come into my life through these steps and bring me to a place of freedom, but it requires a daily surrender. Because if I don't enter into this program every day for these phone calls, for the prayer, through the asking God, okay, God, where do you want me to go today? The disease can take me back, right? That it requires this daily choice to live in the freedom offered through a relationship with this God who loves me. And I think back, right, to my own life where it seemed for years that it wasn't going to get better, that there was no power, I couldn't stop it, I was overeating and then restricting and then overeating and restricting, and it was just awful. And I was wrapped in shame and in guilt and in hiding and in self-doubt, anxiety, and all those things. And what worked? Well, it's what we see in this story, where I saw the people on this line and in real life who I met who had recovery. And so how could I doubt that they did receive a power that I had not yet seen, but it was clear in their lives that it happened for them. And so who was I? Who was I to doubt what they experienced, right? And so, I had to realize for myself through my first several attempts of recovery that didn't work was because I didn't give myself to this program. Because I wanted to be different, and didn't think I needed to make the phone calls, didn't think I needed to share on the line, didn't think I needed to be honest about my food plan, didn't think I needed to do the inventories to the full extent, that I thought, well, I can come in and with my intelligence and my own self-help and all these things, figure it out for myself because I'm not like these other people. But no, I am. And yes, there's differing levels of self-will, there's different levels of power, whatever, but at the end of the day, all of us who identify in are powerless to this and need to receive the help and the care and the tenderness and the mercy of God. And when I was able to recognize that and see that, oh, wow, the way that my God wants to love me and wants to caress me and wants to be tender to me is through inviting me into this program with my full being to make the calls, to recognize I need help, to have a sponsor, to listen to her, to be present, and then to help others, be willing to help others too. And all of I need to accept the whole program as the particular means that my God had chosen for me to be liberated so as to liberate others. And so I'm very grateful for that. I'm very grateful that today the power is being given to me that I can maintain recovery so as to go help others. And I'll need to maintain it day by day, moment by moment, to stay in that fit spiritual condition with surrender to my own need and my own need to rely on this God who knows you my name and who loves me. And so with that, I pass Alec B. from St. Louis, Missouri.
Thank you so much, Alec B. in Missouri. And then I've got Sherry, followed by Robin P., and then Elena. Sherry, will you please give us the first initial of your last name and where you're calling from?
Good morning, tribe. It's Sherry D. in Maryland. Wow, what an amazing meeting so far this morning. There's a lot of talk about God in this particular story, this particular section. And the good news for me is that this program will work for me if I believe in God. This program will work for me if I do not believe in God. But this program will not work for me if I believe that I am God. And I was never egotistical enough to actually believe that I was God, but I did believe that I was his executive assistant. And I continued to put things on his calendar and his to-do list that I thought needed to be taken care of. Like, I came into this program and I admitted that I was powerless over my addiction and my life was unmanageable because of, and then I had this long list of people, places, and things that if God would just fix for me, everything would be okay. And when I shared that with my sponsor, she smiled lovingly at me and said, keep coming back. And what happened was I did continue to come back. And I did continue to work these steps. And I did then realize that the only thing that I can take care of today is me. But when it comes to my addiction and people, places, and things, I have to turn it all over. I cannot believe for a moment that I have the power to change anything in that list. And I'm so very grateful for all the people that have come before me to share their experience, strength, and hope, to tell me to keep coming back and not to leave before the miracle happens, because today I started my day off the same way I have in many, many mornings, hitting my knees, saying the third step prayer, the seventh step prayer, because of my sponsor and the people that have what I want. And spend my time in prayer and meditation and then join this lovely meeting this morning. And I'm so very grateful that I did. And I will continue to keep coming back. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Sherry D. in Maryland. And then next up is Robin P. Morning, Robin.
Thanks, Lindsay. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And when I first came to the program years ago, I went to Moravian Church in New York City and saw God on the walls and ran out. And I was raised an atheist. And I thought, these people just substituted one crutch for another, and I was so disappointed because I desperately needed help. And somebody said to me, just any power that's greater than your God, which is food. And you just need a power greater than food. And it helped me so much. This program was my bridge to God. And I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety that led me to God in my understanding today. And, it's just a miracle of grace. And I was literally, when they talk, it wasn't in him. And you can see when someone has spirit and light in them. And you can see what, I live in an expat community here in Costa Rica, and there are a lot of retired people who drink a lot, and I'm sober, and I'm also, abstinent, and we socialize all the time. We socialize every day here. It is a very, very social community. And I can see how it affects people, and somebody recently died of alcoholism here. And you could just see the difference and it wasn't a power in him. He didn't choose to take that power. And you can see the light in people who choose to go with the light. And every day I get to turn my life and my will over to the care of God and, admit that I'm powerless. I say the first three steps on my knees every morning because I am powerless over food, people, places, and things. And if I think that I am powerful, that's when I've gotten into trouble. And I'm so grateful to know that today and to know that I'm in God's care, in his loving care. And I also, I really love that in the paragraph before, I had to admit complete defeat. And I've been raised from the dead. Oh, my gosh. I am completely different. I used to be complete. There's a lot of parrots around me. Excuse me. So I hope you can hear me. But it's such a miracle of grace because I was completely alone, completely depressed, wanting to die every day, just literally lifeless. I had no life or light in me. And I'm literally the opposite of that today. And I'm a walking miracle, just like so many people on this line. It's literally not even the same planet. I'm just eternally grateful to all of you. Thank you so much, and God bless everybody with a really blessed abstinent day. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. And then the final share on this lineup is Elena, and I did not get the last initial or the first initial of your last name. So if you'll please give that to us. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. as in cat, from South Carolina, recovered. Grateful to be here. You know, when I woke up this morning, I just felt so much joy about knowing that I'm going to jump into this meeting. And it's my turn to share after 3 days. And what an amazing paragraph. What an amazing exchange of energy in between these people. What an amazing embodiment of God in between these two people, you know. And I hear Bill's transformation. He is becoming from a skeptical guy, like, okay, whatever, you know, Abby, you're telling me I have your God, blah, 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 whatever. And here's where he's at right now. He is becoming more curious about what on earth is happening to Eddie. And in the process of staying curious, he's becoming clear. He's becoming clear. No, this power did not originate in him. And I did not see him in him when he was my drinking body, perhaps. But it's there now. You know, and for me, removing food the intensity of frequency of my character defects, and they have been transforming, and they will not disappear, I believe. I'm going to need them, but they have been transforming, and that is needed So then I can get God within. I can get God in my body. And then the book is telling us that at the core of each one of us is the fundamental, fundamental idea of God. And what does that mean? That every one of us has the capacity to embody God. Just some people, they might not, you know, some people might not. And all we need to do is be willing that that's possible, because we see it in our Abbeys, you know. And that is absolutely amazing, I believe. And for me, that is only possible if I pay attention to the world. I need to pay attention to the world. I need to pay attention how in each person that comes into my path, there's something that's God. You know, because my thinking, my negativity of my thoughts, I just really can go to judgmental ideas about people, right? And so when I see that, when I see that in every person I believe that I come into contact with, there's something there that's absolutely amazing. Something from what they're saying, what they're doing, you know, what they're like sensing. And I can I have the proof that God is in each one of us. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Elena C. from South Carolina. So I will do a quick reminder of where we are in the book and then take another lineup of folks to share. So we are in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, page 11, the fourth paragraph. Had this power originated in him? Through one paragraph ending, and this was none at all. So who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Pam B.
Katie G. Katie G. from Boston.
Sue A. newcomer.
All right, I've got Pam B., Katie G., and Aaron K. I know there were several other folks. I heard a newcomer, I believe.
Sue A. newcomer.
Who else?
Charlotte T.
Stephanie R.
Right. Let's go with that lineup. I've got Pam, Katie, Aaron, Sue, Charlotte, and Stephanie. So Pam B., please go ahead and share with us. Pam, star one to unmute.
Good morning. I'm Pam B., grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Los Angeles, California. Good to be here, and thank you, everybody, for serving and making this call possible. He admitted complete defeat. I had been floundering around in OA and A Vision for You for about a year and a half, white-knuckling abstinence and relapse, and until one day, you know, and listening on the line, and then I heard, I have listening to others and their experience and praying, and I had my faith, and I had my my psychologist. And I was going to take care of everything else. I just needed the 12 steps to fix my food. And I was, my complete defeat came when I had the grace to see I was suffering from some human condition, some human experience. And I don't remember what, but I wanted relief. And I thought, I need to get abstinence. I need to get abstinent. I need to stop eating. And the next thought that came to mind, and I was like, well, I can't. And then the next thought, actually it went this way. I was suffering, and I thought, I needed food. I want to eat. And I thought, that'll fix it. That'll make me feel better. And then the very next thought was, because I knew from coming here, I was like, no, it's not going to fix it. I had this little relief from that mental obsession, and I thought, oh, I know what'll do it. I'll diet. I'll lose weight. That'll do it. And I was like, oh my gosh, it's one or the other. It's great. I'm crazy. And I admitted complete defeat. And I had to turn everything over, my will and my life over to the care of God. And that's when the transformation really began for me. And I'm super grateful to be here. And I hope to help somebody else, you know, climb up on the raft, because I remember it's painful, and I'm just so grateful that I was willing to surrender, and that my human will had failed, and I'm here, and I thank you, and I wish everybody a great day. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you, Pam B. from California, and then next up is Katie G. Good morning, Katie. Katie, star one.
Hey, I was talking away. Can you hear me now?
We can hear you. Good morning.
Oh, perfect. All right. Good morning, Lindsay. Thanks for taking the meeting. Good morning, everyone. KG, recovered in Boston. And gosh, this really reminds me of the line in step three that says, A, I am powerless over food and my life is unmanageable. And B, that no human power, because it reminds me that ever since I was, my earliest memories were not of food, right? My earliest memories for me were looking outside of myself for power. Like, I just wanted to feel like I was okay. I just wanted that thing, like that thing. I couldn't articulate what the thing was. And then the thing was food, and then the thing was the perfect food, and then the thing was thin, and then the thing was him, and then the thing was her, and then the thing was grades, and the thing was boobs, and then the thing, like, it always was something outside of myself. And it is really scary to admit complete powerlessness, because I spent my whole life being really afraid. And I might seem like a really like an extrovert, but I'm really not. I'm really terrified of people, but I would like throw myself into situations because I was afraid, and because I was looking for somebody to tell me I'm okay. You know, and as a recovered woman today, like, I have to check myself. Like, am I looking for human powers to make me feel better? Right? Like, am I going along and grateful because everything's going my way? And then once the things don't go my way, am I yelling and screaming, or am I bumping along, right? Am I bumping along the waves and trying to take life as it comes? Because I think the scariest thing for me about admitting powerlessness is accepting that life happens. It's accepting that, you know what, my parents are in their 80s. They're going to die. I'm going to die. My kids are going to get hurt. Things are going to happen. People are going to lose jobs. Painful stuff happens. And what does it look like if I don't have power? And what I can tell you, if that scares you, because of these steps, because of surrendering that I have no power, no choice, and no control around the food, God has entered into my mind and heart in a way that is indeed miraculous. God has not done these things to me. God has not done the painful things to me, but you know what he's done? God has helped me through it. It has broken God's heart when my heart is broken. And thanks be to God, for some reason, I am not that girl lying in a bed, forcing food into my mouth, falling asleep, waking up, and putting more food into my mouth again. Today, I have freedom because I don't have to choose anymore what happens into my life. I don't have to steamroll other people. I just got to say, hey, good morning, God. What are we going to do today? Use me. I want to be an agent for God today. You show me your power, your love, God, and your way of life. May I do your will, God, always. And that's what I got.
Thank you so much, KDG from Boston. And then next up is Erin K. Good morning, Erin.
Good morning, everybody. It's Erin K., recovered compulsive overeater in Michigan. I really appreciated our lead share and all the shares. I think this paragraph is about, it's like identification that Bill, he just can't help being struck by what he's seeing before him. And it it made me think about, I'm a questioner. You know, before I'm going to change, I better have a good reason. You know, if I'm going to do ABC, I want to know it's going to result in X, Y, and Z. I need the proof. And it was like Bill was looking at Ebby, and there was just this, you know, he was gobsmacked by the proof in front of him, because he knew from identification Ebby had no power. Bill had no power to change. And, you know, but here it was. It was like the proof was in the pudding. And that thought popped in my head, and I giggled because, you know, for me, the proof is in the fact that I haven't found the need to eat pudding or anything like it in over 4 years. Me, you know, with my handle on the door of my first meeting, could not imagine a day without pudding, could not glimpse a life worth living if there was no pudding in that life. And when I took the hand of a sponsor, you know, who basically was the living proof that in front of me that this worked, because she told me I have not hurt myself with food in almost 5 years. Like, we cannot directly see God, but we can absolutely see the proof of power if we open our eyes. And this is why we come to meetings. This is why I'm talking right now, because I see the proof in my life. I cannot directly see God, but I see the proof of the power of God in the changes that have happened in my life. And the biggest, you know, surrender I made in retrospect was not the pudding, although it felt huge at the time. It was surrendering that intellect, that internal questioner, that, you know, prove it to me before I'll do it. I need to know why. I need to understand everything. That questioning, debating mind, I really had to set that aside and trust this process. It, you know, you have to enter this dark tunnel. You don't know what's on the other side necessarily, but we don't send you through that tunnel alone. We take your hand and guide you through it. And if you're out there suffering, take someone's hand. Let them be the proof until it starts manifesting in your own life. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Erin K. in Michigan. And then next up is Sue A., followed by Charlotte T. Good morning, Sue.
Hi, my name is Sue A., and I am new, and I am from Delaware. I actually have been playing around with this program for about 30 years. I'm in another program and, you know, thought my abstinence from other things were, you know, under control. I've been to treatment. I was in for anorexia and under eating, went through the repeat eating syndrome. You know, but I continue to play with my food. You know, I continue to play God. And I'm sitting here listening to all of you this morning. You know, and I'm hearing I am not God. I've got to turn everything over, complete defeat. You know, my sponsor, I've got a new sponsor who I'm working with. And today is my first day that I'm going to try and, you know, have complete abstinence. She had me do the entire abstinence on Vision for You. And, you know, I just realized the things that I have to abstain from. I know what they are. She had me write out a food plan, you know, and I have got to follow it to the T. I have to be completely honest. I have to weigh. I have to measure. Everything I've never wanted to do, I have to do. I have to surrender my entire life and follow my food plan. Somebody talked about an outside intervention. The solution is power, not me. It's God, you know. I've never had a God. I'm 63 years old, and I've spent my entire life looking for something outside of myself to fill this hole. And I'm ready to do anything. I'm willing to do anything. My sponsor gave me so much stuff to do that I feel like my whole day, from the minute I wake up to the minute I go to sleep, is just filled with calls and writing and reading and meetings. And I attend another program, and it's a little bit overwhelming for me right now. But, you know, as I'm on this phone call this morning and I had an abstinent breakfast, this is what I need. You know, I feel my light turning on. It brings me to tears. I can feel it coming on. Someone spoke about that. So I'm just really grateful to be here. And if anyone sees my number and wants to call, I'd appreciate it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Sue A. in Delaware. And next up is Charlotte T. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning. I am so grateful to be on the meeting this morning. I was gifted with being able to take a big trip that I just got back from yesterday, and travel has always been a very difficult thing for me in terms of staying abstinent. And this was a big trip. I was in Japan for over 2 weeks, and I just feel so just incredible gratitude that I was able to be abstinent and present for all the wonderful things that happened. The reason I wanted to share is because I heard in an earlier share, that we had to have an outside power. How do we get it? That's what people want to know. How do we get that? And I know for me, I lost 85 pounds with a nutritionist and a food plan and going to 90 meetings in 90 days. But I was still kind of playing around with the food because the way I was eating was allowing me to lose that weight. It was, you know, so much better than what I had been doing, but I was still playing around with the food. And years later, that ended up in complete relapse. And I didn't gain the weight back, but I have struggled with chronic relapse. And my sponsors would say, let's work the steps again, let's work the steps again. And my sponsor for that I have now through A Vision for You basically said, You've worked the steps. You've already done that. What you need to do is be in conscious contact with God. And we both started about the same time doing two-way prayer, and she was having some beautiful results from that, and I certainly was enjoying that practice too. But there were a few more things that had to happen around being honest. One is that I had to honestly tell her when I was not abstinent. And she basically said, I don't care what you eat. That's between you and God and your nutritionist. But I do want to know if you're honestly abstinent. There was something about that that allowed me to be honest, because she assured me that she wasn't going anywhere. She assured me that I would have to fire her, you know, because she wasn't going anywhere. And somewhere between that honesty and the two-way prayer, some other issues around honesty came up. One is that I get a lot of cash from clients. I get a lot of personal checks. And I could – I'm sorry?
That's your time.
Oh, that's my time. What I wanted to say is that the complete honesty and the sponsor who would not give up on me has completely turned things around for me, and I do believe that God is the power in my life that's helping me do that. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charlotte T. And then Stephanie R., we have time for a quick one-minute share if you'd like to take that.
Hello, family. Stephanie R. calling from Missouri, and recovered for today. What really struck me today was I was thinking when Bill was sitting there listening to Ebby I mean, he was, you know, he was foggy in the head, and, you know, but through that fog, he was able to get just some clarity, some little glimmer of hope that, you know, there's something different in this person. And I felt when I went to my very first meeting, I'm not sure if I had just come off a binge or what, but when I went in there, I know I was foggy because I know a binge had not been far away from my reality. And I sat there in that state of fog, and I heard people sharing, and they accepted me in my just tattered position and loved me and showed me that I could learn at that time how to be abstinent, which is all I wanted. I wanted to be abstinent. I wanted to have 3 meals a day and life in between, and that's it. Bye-bye to everything else. And I know at that meeting I left and I did binge immediately because the feelings were so overwhelming. Oh, okay. So sorry. Thank you so much, and I'm glad I was able to share just a little.
Thank you, Stephanie R. from Missouri. And thank you to everyone who shared this morning. And thank you so much to Team Thursday for the month of March for your service. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. And the share ID for today, Thursday, March 28th, is 21,265. That's 21265. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thanks, Lindsay. It's a real privilege to take out this very powerful meeting. Nancy C. recovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan this morning. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we only know a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past and give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you charge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.